All right. So again, welcome to our Thursday night Christian Essentials or New Believers program. Today we're going to be going through the book of Romans. It's chapter 5, verse 5. And with this, we're going to go over some topics that talks about love, God's love. And if we notice in lesson one, it talks about, it's actually titled Something to Grow By, right? And part of growth and growing is about love, right? You know, how do we love ourselves? Do we love our neighbors, our families, our coworkers? That harnesses and provides the soil for growth in anything that we do. So in the book of Romans, just kind of a little bit of context about that. It's written by the Apostle Paul. He was writing to the Christian church in Rome to explain salvation and how it's offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with that, I'm talking about God's love in our hearts right now, right? Evidenced by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, what is true love? How does it help us grow? True love's a topic that's been discussed, it's been pondered, it's been argued, it's also been debated for many centuries. So much so that people are cynical and believe that nobody can really truly find true love. That's simply the result of the chemicals in our brain. And others are the hopeless romantics, thinking they'll find a soulmate, that they'll be compatible and have an endless romance as the sun sets with a white picket fence. Well, the truth is, we live in a fallen world. Our world is filled with broken and imperfect people. And because of that, any relationship of love can at some point fail. But yet, when we talk about God's love, we're in a different category. It's an unrivaled love. In 1 John, it's like John comes to the point where he stops and says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God." So in other words, what kind of love is this? What foreign kind of love is this? Well, God declares that we are right with him simply because we believe in what Jesus did for us. And that's justification. Well, we also have peace with God. That's not subjective. It's tranquil and feeling of peace. It's a fact. We are right with God. The channels are open. The way is clear. Now, that means we have, if the channel is clear, we have access to God. We can go anytime boldly before the throne of grace because we live in an environment of grace. And we hope in glory of the future, the glory to come, will be in a glorified body one day and we'll see the glory of God. So now Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So what does that mean? It talks about the hope that we have. He says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. That's God's love for you. And when you come to Christ, when you receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior, you're saved. And you're entered into a lifelong love relationship with God that lasts forever. And then if we look in verse 8 of chapter 5, it says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us." Okay. Now, this is the second use of the word love. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. He introduced love, and he points to the cross as the greatest example, an act of love ever. Now, love is an essential part of God's character, and we see that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. We're told God is love. So here, Paul discusses justification by faith, and now he gives us motive. God's motive for it at all, and that's the motive of love. Now, I know I already read verse 8, and I left off on 5, but look at verses 6 through 8. For while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for the righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So we have in these verses proof of God's love, his provision of God's love. And the product of God's love, we're going to take each of those one at a time. Now, proof of love is always in the gift. What's love willing to give? This gift was sacrificial. Notice twice, once in verse 6 and once in verse 8, that Christ died. Okay, the most famous verse in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten son. God gave his son. His son gave his life. Love is willing to give, willing to sacrifice. Whether you feel like it or not, love is willing to make a sacrifice. It's never passive. It's never silent. It's always active, and it's willing to act. Now, God gave his very best, his only son. Jesus gave his life. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. Now, I don't know if you've seen the movie Lion King. One of the lines is by Mufasa. And if you think of James Earl Jones, right? He's the beautiful voice of Mufasa saying, some search only for what they can take, but a true king searches for what he can give. Now, Jesus was a true king searching for what he could give. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Now notice also the gift. It was unconditional, because it says in verse 6, for when we were still, what does it say? Without strength. When we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, what does that mean, without strength? It means hopeless, powerless. We had no ability to improve our condition. We had no capability to help ourselves. Why? Because we're spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once also walked according to the course of this world. God loves the prodigal when they run away and mirror on their sin. But Jesus loves the criminal who's turning over a new trick. Jesus loves the drug dealer or the drug seller, the businessman who cheats at their income tax and squanders the company's money. God loves them. Make no mistake, though, God hates what they're doing, but God loves the person. Now, in verse 7 and 8, it says, of course, we already read it, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, right? And then in 8, but God shows his love for us in that. Now, Apostle Paul, he's comparing divine love to human love to show us that the vast difference between the way people love one another and the way that God loves us. Human love is almost always based on what? Attractiveness of the object that it loves. But if the object is more attractive, there's more love. If the object is less attractive, there's less love. That is human love. But if the object oriented based upon value, worth, status, and beauty of the object, then we're inclined to love people who love us. Big deal. Anybody can do that, right? Well, that's the point that Jesus made in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you love those who love you, big deal. Well, he didn't say a big deal, but that's my paraphrase of it, right? And he said, don't even the tax collectors do the same? Anybody can love that way. But now here's the mistake we make. We often take human love the way we love, and we attribute that to God. So we think that God must love the ones who love him, or that his love deepens on how good we are. And the more we love him, the more he'll love us. But you know what? God's love isn't like our love or object-oriented. God's love is subject-oriented. Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteousness, but I have come to call the sinners to repentance. And there's a story about this guy driving down the highway, and he goes over the speed limit, and the police sees him, pulls out, follows him, and pulls him over. When the police pulls you over, what are two things that they ask for? License and registration. Well, looks at the license, checks it out. Okay, looks good. Registration's expired, though. So the police officer brings that to the driver's attention. The registration is expired. I'm going to have to give you a ticket. That's what the police officer tells the guy. Well, the driver says, please, I lost my job. I had to make a decision with the money that I have to either feed my children or re-register my car. And I opted to feed my children. I didn't have enough to do both. So what should the police officer do at that point? It would be quick for us to say, oh, let him go. That would be the easy way. So what happened? Well, he should write him a ticket. And you know what the police officer did? Wrote him a ticket. He wrote him a ticket, which devastated the driver because he knew that's a $100 fine. Well, what the officer, but then the officer got out of his car and drove away. But then when the man opened up the ticket, and in it was a $100 bill that the police officer put in the ticket to pay for the fine. The officer still gave him the ticket, but paid for the ticket for him. Now, think of it this way. At the cross, Jesus wrote us a ticket, and then he paid the fine himself. Infinitely greater than the police officer giving the $100. So that was a wonderful thing, but don't expect that to happen to you. We may not get a $100 bill in our ticket, but think about this love. This is what the world is missing. This is what the gospel produces. Everybody wants to be happy. I never met a person who doesn't want to be happy. Every person, what do you want? To be happy. Just don't want the pain and the suffering in life. I want joy and love. And God isn't interested in just putting a little temporary smile on your face. He wants to deposit real joy, hope, love in your heart. And God knows exactly what you need and sent you a savior. Somebody who demonstrated his love for you in his sacrifice, loved you when you were at your worst so that he could take you at your worst and turn you into his best. That's love. True love is when you discover that God in heaven, your creator, who did all this, thought of you and thought you were worth it. And that is talking about God's love and what it looks like. And if we were to be like that, could you imagine how much we'll grow?